at the feet of Jesus, greatness of His mercy and love. At the feet of Jesus. Oh, yes, we do, Lord.
We cry, holy, holy, holy.
Oh, yes.
We cry, holy, holy, holy.
Holy is
the Lamb.
We fall down. We lay our crowns at the feet. Oh, let's stand and sing it.
Mercy and love.
Oh, at the feet of Jesus.
We cry, holy, holy.
Oh, yes, we do, Lord.
We cry, holy, holy.
Hallelujah.
Holy. We cry, holy, holy.
Yes, we'll lay our crowns at His feet, Brother Terry. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Look at somebody and tell them you love Him in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I imagine just a few thousand years ago, I imagine Satan was feeling pretty good about himself about right now. Thought he'd done a great thing. He didn't know that just in a few short hours, there was going to be a resurrection take place. I tell you what, I'm glad he's alive tonight too. Satan may feel like he's won the victory in your life. He don't know what's waiting you and me. He has no idea what you and I just around the corner is waiting on the bride of the Lord Jesus. If you love Him with all your heart, give Him a big hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus.
We cry, oh,
the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. If you don't care to stand with me just for a minute or two, I want to remember Sister Christine Baker in prayer. She's going to be going for a test on Thursday. They're asking that we would just remember her in prayer. Valerie sends this in that Brother Gary Hall had called on Monday to let everyone know that Sister Jan Hall was released from the hospital. The doctors have her on medication and breathing treatments, but feel that she could continue her recovery at home. Brother Gary wanted to thank everyone for their prayers during Sister Jan's recent illness. Please continue to pray for her complete recovery. So we just pray for her tonight as we pray that the Lord will let it all be well. Sister Peterman says to please pray with me for a very urgent unspoken request the Lord knows all about. We just committed unto the Lord. Brother Junior Davis sends us in to please pray for his mother, Clara Davis, in Arizona. She will turn 90 in June and just got a preliminary report that she has breast cancer. Our prayers are that when the doctor reads the report, that it will be negative. So let's join our faith with Brother Junior that that request would be granted. Amen. I want to remember Brother James Stamper in prayer. He's in the Franklin Woods Hospital. So I want to certainly pray for our brother. I want to remember Brother Jerry, Sister Deanna Glenn as they travel to Ohio. So pray for those folks tonight. Brother George Hamblin sends this in to please pray for a co-worker, Diane Hall. She has pancreatic cancer. Also is having surgery on this coming Monday. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request. So let's do that tonight. Brother Reese sends us in to remember Ray Lucerne. He's the father-in-law of the man that's buying my place at Fall Branch. He has a rare disease. Also remember Rick Hubbard's son in prayer. The Lord knows all about that. Brother Melvin Lanthier requests that we have a special prayer for him tonight. Brother Benton sends this in, so we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Now, Brother Darrell Ward is going to be speaking for us, the Lord willing, tonight and in the morning. And I don't mind telling you this, that he's here. And he's not in the best shape in the world. So we want to pray that the Lord would just take care of Brother Darrell Ward as he ministers to us this weekend. We just, we love our brother. And we thank God for his ministry. Thank God for his life. And as I know as these other ministers can appreciate what he's going through. So let's just pray for Brother Darrell Ward tonight and pray for our pastor and Sister Reagan in Beaufort, South Carolina, Brother Jason Watkins for the services there. Just pray for folks in general that really, really need help in this hour. We're living in a terrible, terrible hour. But we're living in a wonderful hour. It just depends on how you look at it. Amen? If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, Brother Dave Swanson, why don't you come tonight? Take us to the Lord in prayer. Let's commit all of these things unto our Lord tonight. Appreciate Brother Dave, don't we? Amen. God bless you, buddy.
Let's bow our hearts to the Lord. Precious Lord Jesus, we're so grateful to come before you once again, Lord. So grateful for the opportunity, Lord, to gather together our brothers and sisters, Lord. And just pray that you just come and be pleased to meet with us, Lord. We have your promise where two or three are gathered that you meet us, be in our midst. And so we're thankful for that. We just pray, Lord, these requests, many that have been read and many, all the different types of requests, many people sick in their bodies and afflictions, and it seems like our adversary is definitely going about as a roaring lion, Lord, but we're so grateful that the Lion of the tribe of Judah is here also, Lord. You prevail to open those seals and loose the mysteries, the mystery of who we are, the bride of this day. We're to be the word for this day. And with that, Lord, we have the power and the authority to combat everything that the devil throws at us. So we ask, Lord, that special prayer for Brother Darrell as he prepares, Lord, that you just touch his body, that you'd help him, Lord, what you've laid on his heart. May he have free course to deliver it to us, Lord. And also, Lord, may you anoint us to be able to receive what you have. We commit the remainder of the service into your hands now in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you, ushers. If you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here, those that are streaming this service tonight. May God richly bless those folks as well. We certainly want to pray for our young people in Louisiana for the services there. I haven't actually heard how the services are going, but I know they're probably having a wonderful, wonderful time in the Lord. So let's remember all the youth and the ministry there at youth camp down at Brother Tim Pruitt's place. Brother Donnie's new CD One Night with the King. We played a couple of songs off of it here just a few weeks back. That is available for you over in the library if you'd like to pick those up. They'll have them this weekend and weeks to come. I'm sure they have a supply of those CDs for you, but they are available now if you'd like to pick one up. So let's take advantage of that. It's a very, very beautiful songs on the CD. Are you glad to be in church tonight? Are you glad to be a Christian? Look over and shake somebody's hand and say, I'm glad you love me. Play a little bit of it, brothers. I fall down. I'm glad you guys love me. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you love me, buddy. I'm glad you love me, Brother Terry. Amen, buddy. Yes. Glad you love me, buddy. God bless you. Love you, buddy. Oh, now we fall down. We lay our crowns. Feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love. At the feet of Jesus.
Cry, holy, holy,
hallelujah.
Holy. We cry, holy, holy.
Oh, yes, we do.
Holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. He's
I wonder, can you sing it one more time with all your heart? At the feet of Jesus, greatness of His mercy and love. At the feet of Jesus,
we cry, holy, holy.
Oh, sing it, Brother Harry.
We cry, holy, holy.
Yes, we do, Lord.
We cry, holy,
praise the Lord,
holy,
praise the Lord,
holy, we cry, holy, holy,
oh, yes, he
holy,
is.
He's
our Lamb, He's our Lamb, praise the Lord, let's sing that song, Because He Lives. I can face tomorrow. Amen. Aren't you glad about it? It's because He lives. Oh, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives. All my fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Oh, it's because He lives, I can face because He lives, all my fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because.
They call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. is there to prove my Savior name.
You can be seated tonight. Brother Jackie Benton's here in the service with us tonight. Brother Jackie, I want you to come give us a song, if you will, at this time. Certainly appreciate our brother. Brother Jackie stays busy, 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 busy in the ministry of the Lord. And you know, looking at Brother Jackie, you wouldn't believe he's in his 70s. You'll never believe that by looking at him, but I'm sure he feels it at times. But we certainly love our brother. You appreciate Brother Jackie Benton. Give him a nice hand tonight. Love you, buddy. It's good to see you.
I turned 39 last month. Two times. Amen. So God is good. Amen. I love him. Indeed. I'd rather have Jesus. That's my testimony tonight. And when we was in the Philippines, we met some Norwegian brothers and sisters, and they asked me to greet the church for them, Brother and Sister Jan. And some folks there, and a sister from Thailand. And this sister from Thailand, she told me, she said, I never heard the name of Jesus. Didn't know anything about Jesus until I was 53 years old. Think about it. We're blessed. We're blessed. So, amen. Greetings to the folks in Norway and to all around the world, the believers of this message. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than have your prayer than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin
dread slave. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name. Amen. Hallelujah. And to me, a King of the vast domain, and beheld His sin dread slain. I'd rather have Jesus than this world affords. If you really mean it, say it with me one more time, will you? Than to be as no man and be held in dread sway.
Amen. Let's stand tonight. Brother Darrell's going to come and bring us the word of the Lord. We certainly want to pray for our brother. It's good to be in church. I'm glad you're here. Most of all, I'm glad the Spirit of the Lord's here, aren't you? Amen. Let's sing this chorus together. Might have a...
Joel. Ronnie, get a man in the middle for Brother Joel.
Here's a prayer request. We'll remember as Brother Darrell comes out. Kara Hubbard fighting a cold and infection in her body. So let's pray for that need tonight. As when Brother Darrell comes out, we'll have him pray over that.
I love that man in the middle. I know He first loved me. Praise to that man who died on Mount Calvary. Little man made it possible that I could go free. There was a mountain, there were three trees, there was a good man, and there were two thieves. A man called Barabbas was doomed for the tree. Jesus took the middle one, and Barabbas went free. I love that man. made it possible that I could go free. A place called Golgotha, a place of the soul. No yellow flowers, no trees in bloom. Scenery was so dull. Three crosses stood black and bold against the darkened sky. Not from pain, but a broken heart.
Hallelujah.
That middle and
night.
Hallelujah. I love. In the middle, because I know he first loved me. Praise to that man who died on Mount Calvary. Little man. I could go free.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so glad we can call you Father. That no matter what we face in life, the joys, the sorrows, the victories, or the disappointments, it does not change who we are in your eyes. We are your children. Who is alienated by sin. But you, in your great love, reached further down than we could ever reach up. And provided for us, not just a lamb, but a perfect lamb. Who bore in his body our afflictions. And we thank you tonight, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be able to gather in your name in an hour of great darkness. You have given us light. In a time of great famine, you have given us food. And in a thirsty and a dry, barren land, you have poured out the former and latter rain. And I pray tonight, Lord, may you come, Father, and take these feeble words, Lord, and somehow anoint them that your children may once more be fed. I am weak, Lord, but thou art strong. And I surrender to you tonight. Help me, Lord, that I would not be a hindrance, but that I may get out of the way that you may minister to your children. Bless your little bride, Lord, around the country. Bless our young people, Lord, tonight in Louisiana. Oh, God, may they have a great visitation, we pray. And Lord, there are many needs among us. There are many afflicted, Lord. But I pray, Father God, may your Spirit move upon each person. And may they be made well according to the promises of your word. For we ask these things, dear God. in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with us this evening to the book of Numbers. We'd like to read from chapter 13, verse 26. Thank you, buddy. I greet you in the name of the Lord. We count it an honor to be able to stand before you once again. I always enjoy being home. Don't seem like we get to be home too much, but when we're here, I always enjoy it. And so we just trust it. Something to be said to help you and encourage you. And we just, most of all, trust He comes. Amen. I want to read tonight from Numbers chapter 13. I want to start reading at verse 26. I got this little thought here tonight, and if the Lord will help us, I want to bring this tonight and then carry this same thought tomorrow morning for the Easter service and bring it from a different side, but yet it's the same principle of the same thought that we want to bring to you if the Lord will help us. And what we want to look at this evening is on the thought of warfare. We want to look at warfare, but I want to take a thought out of that of where were you? Where were you? Amen. And so that'll make more sense, I trust, as we get on into this, and the Lord will just help us, and you can maybe see what it is that we want to bring to you this evening. Now, Numbers chapter 13, let's just start reading at verse 26. Amen. Do you love Him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. I've got a L5 bulge in my disc, and it just kind of makes you a little nervous. I kind of want to hang on this a little tight, but just if He'll come, it'll be all right. So just let's just read. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." So they just didn't come back, you know, with some kind of words, but they actually brought back evidence that they had been to the land, and the land was exactly the way that God had said. They said, "This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." Now we know those are giants. "And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now is there any Calebs here tonight that believe that we are well able to overcome it? Amen. Sure it's an evil age. Sure it's a dark age. Sure we're not denying that it's not a bad time. We're not denying that the economy is not. But we're able to overcome it. Amen. We're able to overcome it. "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land for which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." Now, the giants never said they were grasshoppers. They said their self they were grasshoppers. Huh? They said we're grasshoppers. And when they said we're grasshoppers, they created such an atmosphere that the giants amened it. So what do we learn from this afternoon? If we don't learn anything out of it, let's learn this. That never have a testimony that the devil will amen. "Well, I ain't no good." The devil say amen. "Well, I can't make it." The devil say amen. "Well, I'm ugly." The devil say amen. Never have a testimony that the devil will amen. If we're going to say something, let's say what the word says. Huh? If you want to make the devil mad, tell him what the word says. Especially about him. Amen. Amen. Do you love him tonight? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Now listen to what Brother Branham says here. He says, now we understand that they came to a place called Kadesh Barnea. And that was the judgment seat or the testing time for all Israel. And God always tests His children by His word. Did you hear that? God tests His children by His word. So if you are God's children tonight, I want you to understand, you will be tested. But what will you be tested by? The word. Huh? What will God give a word bride? A word test. Why study for math if you're taking a science test? So God will test His children by His word. Did you hear that? He tests His children by His word. If you believe His word, God tests you by the word. Now, if you notice, there come a time to go over and spy out the land. And when they went over to spy out the land, they came back, the 12, and 10 of them said, we can't take it. We just can't take it. Because the cities are all walled, and that we look like grasshoppers up beside those great giants. But two of them said, we can take it, and that was Caleb and Joshua. Now, I want you to notice now here, these 12 went up to spy out this land. And I want you to understand, they everyone went to the same message church. Huh? 10 of them wasn't down at Sinking Creek. And the other two was from Happy Valley. Or 10 of them were from Happy Valley. And the other two were, no, they all went to the same church. Sat under the same preacher. Heard the same message. Heard the same word. Huh? God wasn't sneaking in there at night and telling Caleb something that He wasn't telling somebody else. They all heard the same word. But 10 of them said, we can't. And I want you to understand tonight, we will always have those people with us. There'll always be those who say we can't. We live in a very negative age. We go out here, there's a red light, and we stop. We call it a stoplight. Why don't they call it a go light? You go as much as you stop. Because it is a negative age. Amen. People set in negative attitudes. And so we see here that 10 of them said we cannot take it. And they'll always be with us. I'm not looking for the 10 tonight that says we can't. I'm just looking for the one that says we can. Huh. Now listen to what Brother Ben says here. We lay this background down. He said, I would to think tonight. He said, Lord, let us look past the curtain of time. And let us just take a little peek to see what it's all about. We are fighting here tonight a great warfare. I don't care. You're still fighting a warfare. You be sleeping on the pew tonight, friend. You're still fighting a warfare. Because the prophet of God said, we're fighting a warfare. So there is a warfare taking place in this building. Just because you don't hear shields clanging and people screaming and heads flying and blood flying, don't mean there ain't no battle going on in this building tonight. There is in this building tonight a warfare that is taking place. It is on every pew. It is on this platform. It is on the back door. It is in the nursery. It's over there in the fellowship hall. There is here tonight a warfare. We are fighting here tonight a warfare right against Rome. The word of God against modern theology and trying to make the word of God and bring it to the people while the enemy will try to beset it in any way that he can. So I want you to understand tonight that the warfare we're fighting is not swords and blood flying and bullets zinging past our head, but the battle that is raging tonight is God trying to bring you His word while the devil is trying to keep you from getting it. Amen. Sometimes we talk about warfare. People don't relate to it.
because they don't know about guns and hand grenades and helmets. But that's not the warfare I'm talking about. The warfare I'm talking about is the right against the wrong and the word of God against modern theology. Because I want you to know, friends, Satan's desire is to try to pull us off the word. Because if you will lay down the word of God, you are defeated. Brother Branham said, if you, the devil can get you to lay down the word, he has disarmed you. There are many message people that haven't missed a message service in 25 years, but they are disarmed. They don't even have a clue. And the battle is raging, service after service. The word of God against modern theology. Friends, the devil ain't going to show up tonight and try to tell us that Jesus wasn't God. Is the devil going to try to show up tonight and tell us Jesus didn't live on the earth? He ain't going to waste his time. Is the devil going to show up here tonight in this building and try to tell us Brother Branham wasn't Malachi 4? That's not the battle. But what if he tries to tell us there's a return? Or a tent? Or an airplane? Or another prophet messenger? Modern theology. Not something happened, Brother Terry, 2,000 years ago. The devil ain't going to try to talk. I know Jesus died on the cross. There's no use to tell me that. The devil ain't going to come and try to tell me there ain't no God. I know there's a God. I've met God. I've met him when I was a little boy. When the light came into my room. When I was just a little boy. I know there's a God. But what the devil does try to tell me is that that God don't love me. Just like the devil tries to tell you that that God don't love you. That's why you're sick. That's why you're having trouble. That's why you're going through this. It's because, yeah, there's a God, but he don't love you. And that's a warfare that many people fight. And that's why they sit so defeated in church that they can't even raise their hands because they're not even sure whether God really loves them or not. Well, God must not love me. I wouldn't be having this trouble. Maybe that's the evidence he does love you. More loyal, more tested. Amen. Huh? Trying to make the word of God and bring it to the people. While the enemy would try to beset it in any way that he can. So then we see that Satan's desire tonight is to try to keep us from getting the word of God. But what word of God is he trying to keep us from getting? The word of God that's allotted to us. As Caleb stood there that day and said, give me my mountain. Huh? Amen. Now notice, now watch this. They came to the land that God gave them by promise. God gave them a prophet. Just like he done us. Oh my God. OMG. God gave them a pillar of fire. Just like he did us. God gave them a land. Just like he gave us. Our land is Canaan land. And Canaan land is the Holy Ghost. God gave them a promise. I've already gave you the land. Just like he done us. And the promise isn't to you. Amen. Hallelujah. And to your children. And even as far off as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. God gave them a prophet. God gave them a pillar of fire. God gave them a land. God gave them a promise. God said, it's your land. And God's thinking. God's thinking. It was already settled. As far as God was concerned, it was theirs. Oh, God. I'm supposed to behave. I'm sick. Think of it, friends. It's your land. It's your land. God said, it's your land. Go and possess it. Well, brother, I don't know if I make it or not. I don't know if I can rapture or not. I don't know if I can have victory. It's already yours. And God's taken. And God's taken. We've already raptured. And God's taken, Brother G. We've already made it. And God's taken, Brother Adam. I'm a young man. Oh, God. I see gray hair. I see wrinkles. But God sees me, Brother Terry. God sees me the way he saw me in his mind. And he took a picture. That's the way God sees me. God don't see me sick. God don't see me weak. God don't see me defeated. God sees me perfect. Glory God, hallelujah. God said, it's your land. God said, it's yours. The God who had done all these things for us. No, he just didn't say, I'm mighty. There's none like me. I've given you the land. Nobody will stop you from possessing it. I'm God. I've thought it. I've spoken. It's settled forever. He could have said that. But not only did he say it, but he showed them, Brother Daniel. He actually showed them just how mighty he was. He just didn't ask them to believe it. Though that should have been enough. After all, I'm God, he said, and I lie not. But not only did he just say it, but he actually showed them. He split the sea. My God, that's pretty good. He let him hell out of the heaven and burn upon the earth. He made it dark down in Egypt and light down where they were at. He done signs and wonders to show just how mighty he was. Just like he's done us. God has showed us in our own congregation. Sister Horn. My daughter Jessica. That's just a few. We could spend the rest of the night. People healed of cancer. People delivered of this. People delivered of that. People brought out of wheelchairs. He just didn't tell us. He actually showed us. And the only thing God asked them to do was believe. Just like he's done us. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. The angel of the Lord told me he was pleased that I had chose that song for a campaign theme. Because all he asked us to do was believe. Now notice. Notice, there was nothing wrong with the promise. There was nothing wrong with the land. It was just the way God said. Now, God, what's that? Grapes. Is that the whole vineyard? Huh? That's just one bunch. Nothing wrong with the promise. Nothing wrong with the land. Nothing wrong with the God who gave the promise. It's just like God said. Here is the evidence of it. Nonetheless, we are not able to possess it. Because the people are strong, and they are giants, and they are walled cities, and they're bigger than us. Nothing wrong with the land. Nothing wrong with the promise. Nothing wrong with God. It was their thinking. It was their thinking. Notice in our scripture reading how so they are like us. I mean, you read it. I thought, my Lord, them guys got some memory. They knew wherever enemy was. They knew who dwelled by the sea. They knew who dwelled in the mountains. They knew who had the cities. They knew who had the walls. They knew where the giants were. They knew wherever bad thing was. I want you to notice. God did not hide the giants from them. God didn't say, now y'all walk right down this way. Put these blinds. Don't look. No, don't look that way. No, just look straight ahead. Look straight. No. God never brought them around this way, you know, where flowery bed of ease and over by Champagne Avenue and... No. He took them right through every giant, every wall, every city, every enemy. Let me tell you something, friends. God ain't afraid for his children to have trouble. God's not afraid for his children. When I burn on that, my kids get sick. They won't love me. They won't serve me. God ain't afraid. God ain't afraid to let us have trouble. God ain't afraid of giants. God said, I don't care how big the walls are. I don't care how big the giants are. I don't care how big the cities are. They are not bigger than me. Sure, we have trouble. Sure, we have problems. I'm not denying that. Sure, we have heartache. Sure, we have difficulties. Sure, we make mistakes. Sure, we fall flat on our face. But I tell you, our God is bigger. Our God's bigger than MRIs and CT scans. He's bigger than cancer. He's bigger than wheelchairs. He's bigger than marital problems. He's bigger. My God is bigger. I'm not saying we ain't got problems. I'm not dumb. I caught on my hands and knees for 4 days. I know we got problems. But I also know we got a big God. And at any moment, at any given second, all he's got to do is nod. I'd run this church down right now. You all want to see a Pentecostal boy? You'd see a Pentecostal boy. I ain't got no hair to mess up. I don't care to shout. I Thank you, Jesus. Where am I? Okay. Amen. They said we were in our eyes as grasshoppers to them. Therefore, that's the way they perceived us. Now listen. God said it's a good land. God said it flows with milk and honey. God said, I've already gave you the land. God said, it's your land. But they said, we can't do it. We're like grasshoppers. It's a land that eateth up the inhabitants. Where did God say that? Where did God say they were grasshoppers? Where did grasshoppers even come from? Why didn't they say, we're midgets? That'd have been more, you know, we're little men compared to them. They said, grasshoppers. Where did grasshoppers get into the picture at? Where did those thoughts come from? Huh? Where, Brother Gene? God never said it. The prophet never said it. The message never said it. Show me anywhere in this message where it says we missed the rapture. Show me anywhere in this message where it says we lose.
No, sir.
Then what are we worried about? Well, Brother Darrell, I had a terrible battle this week, and man, I just got beat up. He never said we wouldn't get beat up. He just said we didn't lose. Is that not true, brother? The gospel never says that we'll go through and never get a bruise or a scratch. Huh? When I played football, I liked bruises and scratches and grass stain. Huh? Most pitiful thing is riding home on the bus in a clean uniform. See, really in there tonight, wasn't you, Ward? When I got on the bus, I wanted some bruises, some grass stain. We'll drag on the bus. Bless God, we won that with it. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying, friends? Amen. So we were in our eyes as grasshoppers. Therefore, that's the way they perceived us. Now, ain't that something? That they actually started projecting that in such a way that they created an atmosphere around them that their enemy began to agree with them. My God, you're right. That is the worst gallbladder I've ever seen. Listen, but Ben said there is a mutual ground, a no man's land, that they fight here at this place. They just don't one fight over here, one down here, one right over here. There's a battle front where they meet and test their power, where each army tests its strength against the other army. A mutual meeting place. Now don't miss this, he says. When this great battle started on earth, there had to be a mutual meeting place. There had to be a place selected for the battle to begin. For the battle to rage. Huh? So the battle we're in is not a pop shot battle. A pew, 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 pew. It's more like... Sound effects are free. It's for the battle to rage. And the battleground begins in the human mind. That's where the battle starts. The human mind was chosen for the place of battle. That's where it was to begin. It's because decisions are made from the mind. We just can't do it. We just can't do it. Where did that come from? Their minds. The battleground is where you meet your enemy. Is in the mind. You've got to make your choice. Now Paul says in 2 Corinthians, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. God ain't gave us a ball bat and brass knuckles. Our weapons are not carnal. They're not carnal. But they're mighty. But there, I can't even see my weapon. I don't care if you see it or not. It's a good one. It's mighty. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, I want you to understand tonight, Satan's desire for every one of our lives is to have strongholds. That's right. All he needs is one or two good strongholds in our life, and he will buffet us to death. Huh? And we all got them. Satan tries to put them in all of us. Huh? You know, it's like sometimes you feel, like myself, you know, he tries to put in your mind that you bother people. I don't want to bother people. You need to, and then you realize, well, that's silly. But yet Satan can place these things in our minds. Such a stronghold. That you think nobody likes you. Or nobody wants to be around you. We all battle it, friends. That may not be yours, but you've got something. It may be your nose or your ears or something. I don't know what, but it'll be something. Strongholds, Sister Jackie. Because Satan loves strongholds because it gives him position in battle. I don't care how far you go across the picket's charge and you charge across the battlefront and you push the enemy back, there'll always be strongholds that you have to go back in and flush them out and get rid of them. You may storm through this building and you may take the devil by a whirlwind, but I'm telling you, friends, when the fire burns through, if you ain't careful, the devil will have a stronghold in your life, in your mind. Pulling down strongholds. If it's not effective, Brother Terry, to show you how effective it is, God gave us weapons to pull these strongholds down. If there wasn't nothing to it, why would God give us a weapon? If there wasn't nothing to it, well, don't pay on that's just strong. Don't worry about that. That ain't nothing. Don't worry about that. But no, God said, I'll give you weapons. Mighty weapons, even to the pulling down of strongholds. Now watch where Paul takes this battle. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought. Every thought. Every thought. Every thought. You can't stop thoughts from going through your mind. But man said, you can't stop a crow from flying over the farm. But you can sure keep him from landing. Huh? You're going to have these thoughts, but God said, don't worry. I have given you the ability to bring every thought that's contrary to my word captive. Oh, God. You ought to make the Pope take off the dress. Start wearing breeches. Bring it into captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Huh? Satan's army brings diseases. Anybody ever had a disease? Guess where you got it? Chickenpox, Satan's army. Measles, Satan's army. Herniated disc, my God, that's Satan's general. Satan's army brings diseases. And God's army. So there is tonight in this building two armies. Satan's army brings diseases, and God's army is commissioned to cast them out. Every time Satan throws anything onto you, God's army is to cast him out. That's the very tactic God used. Huh? Satan started trouble in heaven. God cast him out. God said, it worked for me. You use it. There you are. Every time Satan throws anything onto you, God's army is to cast him out. That's the very tactic God used. Satan used the army of destruction to disbelieve God's word and set him up a better kingdom than Michael had. And God cast him out. God's method is to cast out evil. Cast down reasoning. Cast down superstitions. Oh, better be careful, brother. You better be careful what you say. Superstitions. Got to hold my hands a certain way and pray a certain prayer a certain length of time. Superstitions. Cast down superstitions. Cast down weariness. Cast down disease. Cast down sin. You are above it. You are above it. You are above it. Resurrected in Christ Jesus, set in heavenly places with every devil under your foot. Every devil under your foot. What about temper under your foot? What about pride? Foot. What about cancer under your foot? What about God under your foot? What about what? Every. Sorrow. Amen. Depression. Oppression. High blood. Low blood. No blood. Under your foot. Every devil. Every devil. Every. What part of every don't we understand? Ever. Every devil. Well, brother, I'm the smallest Christian of the whole church. I'm the little skin on the bottom of the little toe. Well, Brother Branham, you know, he's a prophet. Brother Biscoe and Brother Donnie has great positions in the body, but I'm just the little skin of the little toe. Where the little crease touches the bottom of my foot, that's me. Even if that's true, even if that is true. If that's the part, Brother Horn, of the body that I make up. If that is who I am, guess what? Every devil is still under my foot. If the devil sticks his head up, just stomp him. Here a few years ago in Allison, she was a little thing. I was preaching up in Kentucky. Church was over. She's standing beside me. And I was telling them, I said, well, I sure enjoyed being here this weekend. Appreciate you having me up. And Allison goes, I said, I sure hope y'all enjoyed the message. And she goes, I said, maybe we can come back. I said, Allison, you're under my ministry. I said, and then she got into it. She, finally, I said, Allison, what are you doing? She said, it's a bug, Daddy, it's a bug. And I looked down and there's a bug. She's trying to stomp that bug. Oh, that's the way we ought to be, Sister Janet. When the devil sticks his head up in this church, somebody needs to yell, it's a bug! Listen now. Give me a few minutes. 1 Timothy 1:18. Outstanding scripture. Listen to this. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Now we know Timothy wasn't Paul's son in the flesh. He was in the gospel. So this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now Paul telling Timothy, if you're going to fight, son, fight good. Amen. If we're going to show up and fight, let's fight. Amen. And he told him, you want to be a good soldier. You want to fight a good warfare. Here is the answer. Here is how you will be successful. Take the word that's been spoken concerning you and use that word against your enemy. Take the word, Brother Jerry, spoke concerning you. Thank God what God done for Moses. Thank God for what God done for David. Thank God for what God done for Daniel. But I'm a son of God too. Surely there's something in this word for me. Huh? I'm not an orphan, Emma. Surely there's something here for me. If the word spoke of Moses and the word spoke of Daniel and the word spoke of David and the word spoke of Brother Branham, if I'm the bride, surely somewhere the word speaks of me. And why can I not take what the word says about me and use it against my enemy? Why can I not take the word and tell the devil, sit down and shut up? Why can I not use my weapon to war a good warfare and be victorious? Why do I have to come to church defeated? Why can I not raise my head? Why can I not take what the word says I am and stand on the word of God and say, come on, big boy. Take the prophecy concerning you and war a good warfare. Can I read this to you? Just give me just a few minutes, we'll close. I ain't gonna be able to go much longer anyway. Listen. But man's talking about the Thyatira church age. He's talking about how they had not known the depths of Satan. The depths of Satan. Now listen, I want to lay this because I want to jump this thought here and tie this in. It seems this verse has been left out by commentaries, for they were not able to figure out what it was saying, what the doctrine or what the experiences were meant by the phrase, the depths of Satan. Actually, it's simple. Especially when you're a prophet and the word comes to you. Huh? It's simple to know what is meant. Let us first know the depths of God. And the opposite will be true for the depth of Satan. In Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit with the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. But I said, according to these verses, when a man experiences the depth of God in his life, it is actual, a personal experience of the Spirit of God dwelling in him. Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It's Christ revealed to you personally. I talked to a man the other day, known him for years. And he was telling me, he said, I've been around the message. I knew quotes. I knew this. I knew Sunset Mountain. I heard about Jesus. He said, I never knew who Jesus was. I heard it all my life. But I never knew him, because the new birth is not a message book. It is not a belt buckle. It is not just coming to a message church. It is a personal experience. You have met this person. And he said, I never knew him until I was on my knees in the floor crying out to God. And I said, I will not get up until I change. And he said, there, on the floor, in a puddle of tears, on my knees, I met Jesus. Huh? It is a personal experience of the Spirit of God indwelling him, and his mind is illuminated by the wisdom and the knowledge of God through the Word. His mind is illuminated with the knowledge of God through his Word.
Amen.
A personal experience military that Christ would come into us and bring to us his intelligence. The very intelligence, the very mind of God concerning us would be revealed to us, that I would know exactly what God thought about me. Mercy. I feel like speaking Apache. To illuminate by wisdom the knowledge of God through the Word. But the depth of Satan will be in that he will attempt to destroy this. He will always attempt to make a substitute of the reality of God. How he will do it? He will take away the knowledge of the truth of God and destroy the Word by putting forth his own words.
Yes. Yes.
When God comes and says, I am your healer. Amen. And the devil says, you will never be well again. Satan's desire. You just give me this about 5-10 minutes. We'll close. Satan's desire is to exalt his thoughts above the knowledge of God. Because if Satan can project his thoughts above God's word, and we will begin to confess Satan's word over God's word, we have cast our vote to our enemy. When Brother Ben said God had a vote and the devil had a vote and you was the deciding vote. Friends, I'm not talking about goosebumps. I'm not talking about running the aisle. I'm talking about the reality of the Word of God, of being mature, a mature son of God, to stand on the Word of God and say, I am a Word of God. I am the Son of God because I have met God's requirements. Whether I feel like it, whether I don't, whether I'm healed, whether I'm sick, whether I'm rich, whether I'm poor, whether I'm free, or whether I'm in jail, I am who I am by the grace of the Almighty God. Satan's scheme is to try to place his thoughts, which is contrary to the Word. Because Satan wants these strongholds. He wants to control the battleground, Brother Joe. Because anybody that's ever been in combat knows, whoever controls the battleground, more times than not, controls the battle. It's easier to be at the top of the hill shooting down than to be at the bottom of the hill shooting up. It's easier to stand up there and shoot down than to be down there and they say, boys, take that hill. You sure? So position, battleground position. And if Satan can take his thoughts and project them into your mind to where you will confess, I'm not a very good Christian. God don't love me. I'm never going to be well. Nobody likes me. And if we ain't careful, we'll actually be worshiping Satan. Because we will take what the devil says over what our daddy says. And I cannot begin to tell you how much it would hurt me if I told one of my daughters, don't drink that right there. That's poison. And somebody else would say, that won't hurt you. I say, don't do it. Listen to Daddy. Listen, I'm telling you the truth.
That's right.
I'm sharing with you my knowledge.
Come on. That's right.
And then they would drink the poison and take his word over their own daddies. Take these prophecies, Timothy. Take the knowledge. Listen, friends. Oh God, there's so much. It's been hidden down through the ages. Because the feet couldn't handle it. The thighs couldn't handle it. The shoulders couldn't handle it. But this is the mind age. The intelligence age. Where the knowledge of God could be revealed. The mysteries have been hidden. But now the seals are loosed. And the knowledge of God has been made known to us. That we, by that knowledge. That knowledge concerning who? That knowledge concerning us. Not war, a good warfare. Let's look at Job. We'll close. Look at Job. Right fast. God asked the devil, where you been? He said, I've been to and fro the earth, seeking whom I can devour. Say, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the land. Said, yeah, but you've got that message around him. Bills are paid. No sickness. Everything's going good. If you let me have him, I'll make him curse you to your face. God said, I got confidence in my son, Job. Do with him what you will. But don't you take his life. Now, am I in the story? Is that right? Do with him what you will. Show him, friends. We cannot leave this earth until Daddy's ready for us. And if Daddy's ready for me, I'm ready for Daddy. So all of a sudden, Job starts having all this trouble. First, he gets an L5-S1 bulging disc. Boils break out from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Not one bull, hundreds of bulls. So much that he stunk. His wife said, "My God, you have to go outside." And he sat out there with a piece of bone and would scrape the bulls, and they would run off of his arms and off of his legs. Then his finances was hit. The transmission fell out. The wash machine fell through the utility room floor. And the dog run off. You know what I'm saying? Everything went wrong at one time. Anybody had days like that? Somebody's been a month for me. Everything that could go wrong, could go wrong. And then one runner, this happened. And before he got out of sight, and this happened. And then finally they said, "All your kids are dead. I'm the only one escaped to come and tell you about it." Here's poor Job. He thought, "You know, God gave me a good wife. I think I'll just call her to give me a little bit of comfort. Maybe she'll make me one of them Dutch apple pies with French vanilla ice cream. Good cup of Folgers coffee." Oh my God, that's good. So he calls his wife to bring him some comfort. And his wife comes to him. And she says, "Why don't you curse God and die?" "God, I just wanted apple pie." "Why don't you curse God and die? Didn't we hear that somewhere before? If you let me have him, I'll make him curse you to your face. Why don't you curse God and die?" Where did that thought come from? Is it something that Satan could actually anoint Job's wife to speak words that would pull Job off his position? That would cause Job to leave his sonship? That would encourage Job to curse the God that created him? But Job said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And after that, God appeared. And God said to Job, "Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Brother Burke, God wasn't being mean. God wasn't rubbing salt in his wounds. God wasn't saying, "Look how big I am." But he was sharing with Job his knowledge. God was opening up his knowledge and sharing it with Job, that Job, by that knowledge concerning himself, might war a good warfare. Are you still with me? So Job, where were you when the sons of God shouted for joy? Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Forget about the animals. Forget about the bulls. Forget about it. Forget about the trouble. Forget about the problems. Listen to me, Job. I am sharing with you. I am opening up my mind, Job. And I am sharing with you a secret. And I am asking you, Job, I'm asking you, where were you? I was with you. Job, when he said, where was you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Who were those sons of God that were shouting for joy? Jesus told them, I had joy with you before the foundation of the world. We're not creatures of time. We're creatures of eternity. No man can come to me except my Father draws him. And all that comes to me, I'll give them eternal life and will raise him up at the last day. And no one can pluck them from my hands. He's given them to me. How you going to lose? How you going to lose? We are absolutely undefeatable. Where were you? You can understand where you were, then you will know where you will be. You can be a son and daughter of God because you have to have eternal life. And there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God's life. And only one form of eternal life, that was God. There to be a son of God, you had to be in him always. The gene of your life, spiritual life tonight, was in God the Father before there was even a molecule. And you are nothing but the manifestation of the gene life that was in God as a son of God. Now you're expressed. Now you're expressed. April the 7th, 2012. Now you are expressed after his word has come into you to light up this age. Jesus said, I am the light. And then he said, ye are the light. Called to be an expression to light up this age. You're expressing God's life in you because you are a son or a daughter of God. Therefore, you get what I mean? The congregation says, amen. See, you are in. You are now. You are now made. You are now made. You're sitting in this church tonight. Because your duty is to express God to this nation, to this people, and to this neighborhood. That brother.
strength to say what he says. So many where he says, we lose, we're defeated, we fail, we don't make it. It does not say it. Well, brother, I feel like it. Now, I'm not talking about feelings.
Amen.
You want to talk about feelings? If it was feelings, I would not be here right now. I cannot tell you the text I got this week begging me not to stand in this pulpit tonight. But I wanted to let the devil know. And in my weakness, I am still the Son of God. Our duty is to light up this neighborhood. Do you love him? Where were you? Take the prophecy concerning you. We'll pick it up in the morning and we'll finish it, God will. Let's just bow our heads. I trust I've not kept you too long. Oh God. I'm not a smart person, Lord. I don't know fancy words. But Lord, I do know that I love you. And I am so grateful that you have come in this hour and shared your knowledge concerning us, that we might not only know who you are, that we might not only know who Brother Branham was, but that I may know who I am. Lord, I pray tonight for your sick children. There are many suffering, Lord. God, if I could, I'd heal every person, Lord. God, if I could, I'd take every hurt away. God, you know my heart, I'm being honest, I would. The little child, Lord, suffering tonight with a cold, requested prayer for him. Oh God, if I could, I'd take that sickness myself and let her go free. Others, Lord, suffering with their backs. Oh God, there's no pain like that on earth, Lord. Make a grown man lay on the floor and cry. And if I could tonight, Lord, I'd free every person from it. I'd empty every wheelchair. I'd restore every marriage. I'd take the loneliness away from every person that's lost their husband, that's lost their wife. If I could, Lord, I would. But I can't. But the most wonderful thing is you already have. And tonight, Lord, where the faith rises up, they receive that. Yes, Lord. what you've already done. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask these things. Do you love Him tonight, friend? We bow down. Sing it, brother. At the
feet, the greatness of mercy and love is at the feet. on his mind. A look of love was on his face, thorns on his head. The blood ran down his scarlet robe, stained with crimson red. Though his eyes were on that day, he looked ahead in time when he was on the cross. You and I were on his mind, for he knew me. Yeah.
Almighty God, we believe your word to be true. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let us just lean up against your chest. Let us feel you breathe tonight, Lord. Let's just, can we just make love to him just before we go? Let's just sing us. Y'all know I can't sing a lick. So y'all just drown me out. But don't worry about that. Let's just enter into his presence. Let's sing it, Brother Harry. The more I seek you, the more I love you. When I was in Haiti, I kept that song just constantly on my mind. It just so ministered to me there. By the way, the church in Haiti is built. They're having services in it. I've got some pictures. We'll get them together. We'll show them to you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Can we just love him just for a minute? My God, I feel like I've had back surgery. Better help me, buddy. You know I can't say.
The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more. Sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. Seek you, the more I find you,
It's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat. Your love is so deep, I can't understand. I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming. The more